Well, if we haven't met before, my name is Mike Judge. I'm the adult ministries pastor here at Westgate Chapel, and I'm looking forward to trying out this whole live stream church service sermon thing that we're doing together right now, all on the internet around Toledo and in the regions beyond. And so if you guys are tuning in, maybe you missed the last couple of weeks, maybe you haven't, we're in the middle of a series called Difficult Questions, Biblical Answers. And we've been talking about a whole variety of topics that pertain to kind of this COVID-19 season of social distancing. And the topic for this week, the question that we're going to be wrestling with is, how do we move forward during change? How do we move forward during change? Not getting stuck and derailed. How do we actually keep on making progress and advancing? And so this is such an appropriate topic for us today on Mother's Day, because I think we all know that moms have gone through a whole lot of changes that they've had to navigate with. I have a one-year-old daughter, and it's been so fun going through this with my wife and just seeing how my daughter keeps on changing, and my wife and I, and her as a mom in particularly, are just keep on adapting and adjusting. And it's just, I already can see moms are pros at change. And so we thank you, moms. And so that's really appropriate for today. But I think also, as we're going into this, it's just real that we're dealing with a lot of change right now with COVID-19. You know, little changes and big changes. And so I just paused and was thinking about some of the small things, you know, things like those awkward interactions every time you're coming and you're walking by somebody and you're like, you know, who's going to dodge which way and all that, to wearing masks in public maybe for the first time, to this whole scheduling thing, and like, how do we build some life rhythms around some of these new circumstances? To thinking about every little thing you touch, right? And if you're a little paranoid like I am, you might think, well, if I touch this and somebody else might have touched that, and then they might have touched their dog, who maybe touched the neighbor, who, and it gets totally out of control, right? That whole mental game that some people might play with that. And so there's lots of little changes, and then there's some big changes too. And some of those might be things like not being able to spend time with other people in person, and that lack of human interaction is just challenging. Or maybe this ongoing wrestling match with fear and anxiety that we're facing because we don't know what's coming. Or maybe we're trying to wrestle with, how do I pay my bills? I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's a job loss. Maybe this economy, we already know, is a little dysfunctional right now. And then for some people, and this is true even in our church family, maybe the biggest change that we're going through is the loss of a loved one. You know, maybe that's something that people are dealing with right now, and that's huge. How do I figure out this new life without this person in it anymore? And so there's all sorts of changes that we're facing. And so today we're going to be taking a look at a moment of change in the scripture. It's Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 8. It's Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. Feel free to open up your Bibles with me to that passage. And what's happening here is that the nation of Israel is getting ready to transition from this season of wandering in the wilderness and now taking over the promised land. And if you don't know the story, this is actually the second time that they're going to be doing this. The first time, 40 years beforehand, they got there and the whole nation kind of chickened out, didn't have faith in God. And so they went on this period of 40 years of wandering. And now we're back here and ready to take over the promised land for real. And now Moses is going to be kind of shepherding the nation through how are we going to navigate this change. That's kind of the setup for where we're coming in. And he's almost putting on a master class for us, so to speak, of like how to do change well. And so I've pulled out from this passage four different lessons about change that I think are so helpful for us personally. And that's going to be the majority of our message, talking about how do we go through change well personally. But I'm also at the end of my message going to talk about how do we go through change well as a church family in this season. And so there's two parts here. So if you have your Bibles, let's read Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8 together. And so I'll read that. It says, so Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord, your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you can dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And so there's a lot there, and we're going to try to take it one lesson at a time, one chunk at a time as we go through this passage together. And so the first lesson that I have for us out of the scripture is that change is inevitable. That change is inevitable. And we see that right off the bat. This is Moses' kind of first point that he's making in this speech. He says, it says verses 1 and 2, so Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. And Moses' time has come to an end. There's this reality that change is here, this inevitable peace. And if you don't know the story, Moses had this moment of sin out in the wilderness where he acted in anger and some rashness. And because of it, God has punished him and has said, you know what, you're not going to be going over and leading the nation into this promised land. And so the people already knew this. They've already appointed Joshua to be the guy who's going to take over the torch and to lead them there back in Numbers 27. And so that's what's going on. But the reality is that this was a big moment of change, right? For the nation of Israel, they had to start digesting this. They had to start thinking about a reality where Moses was no longer their leader. And they couldn't do anything to shake that. And it was tough for them. And this was just one change they were facing. There's also several other changes that they were facing. They were also going to be wrestling with Moses' death. We read about in verse 14, God tells Moses that he's about to pass away. And they had to wrestle with this impending reality of Moses not being alive anymore on earth. Second, they had to deal with new leadership, right? Not only is Moses not going to be the leader, but now they have this new leader, Joshua, who's a rookie compared to Moses, right? Moses has been the guy for 40 years. Everybody's learned Moses' leadership style. Everybody's learned how he does things. And now they got Joshua coming in who they don't know. And if you guys have ever had a new boss or a new school teacher or a new something, a new leader in your life, you know just how big of an adjustment that change is for when, you know, you're going through that. And so that's a big deal. And then the third major change that they're going through, maybe the biggest one of them all, I don't know, is that they were going from being wanderers to conquerors. From wanderers to conquerors. You know, there's this moment where they were before just traveling around mostly as their predominant thing, and now they're going to be taking over the land of Canaan. And I almost have this picture, I don't know if you guys are Lord of the Rings fans, I just think of the Two Tower, and there's this moment where a whole bunch of people are fighting for their lives, and they're handing these farm hands and people that have never used a weapon before, swords, and they're just trying to figure out what this is going to be like. And there's this moment of like, what are we doing? How are we going to do this? And there had to have been this culture change that the nation of Israel was feeling, that this was going to be different than it had been as a nation. And so the nation of Israel had to accept these realities and to look them in the face and not just bury their heads in the sands. And so for church right now, I think that's just an important piece for us as we're thinking about how do we go through changes. We need to realize that change is real and it's inevitable, and we need to be willing to look at it and not just pretend it didn't exist. We have to be willing to respond to it. We have to be willing to think about how we need to address this. And so right now, that's the first step, the first lesson that I want us to digest right now is we can't just ignore it. And that leads us to the second lesson, which is talking all about how we respond. And so Moses paints a picture here of two different ways that the nation of Israel might respond. And if we look at verse 6, we see both of them kind of concisely. Here's what he says. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. And so there's this picture number one where there's these strong and courageous conquerors moving forward, faith in God, confidence in him. And on the other side, we have this picture of this scared, paralyzed, broken down Israel who's just not making it, who's not functioning well. And there's these two different responses that Moses is addressing. And I think what he's saying to them is that sometimes following God requires that we embrace change. Sometimes following God requires that we embrace change. There's going to be things that happen that are inevitable, that sometimes in order for us to be Christ followers, we need to keep on embracing those changes as they come. And if we don't, we can end up in some difficult spots. And so I have a picture for us, illustration. Maybe it's a little silly, but I think it's helpful for me. And it's one with surfing. And And I don't know if you guys have ever gone surfing before. I've only done it once before. It's kind of, I'm not an expert by any means. But there's this moment, right? You have your surfboard, you're out footing in the water. Maybe you're still trying to figure out if you even want to be out there, you know, you're just kind of floating around, hanging out. And then all of a sudden a wave comes. And so I have picked like the most dramatic picture of a wave for you guys that hopefully you're seeing right now of like the world's largest wave coming in and you're just hanging out in the water. Just put yourself in that spot. And you have to make a decision in that moment. Am I going to, number one, let that wave crash over me and just hit me, and I'm just going to sit there and I'm just going to take it, right? That's option one. And there's a second picture, which is just it's something that they call tombstoning in the surfing world. And so what happens here is that if the surfer gets hit by the wave, they fall, whatever that is, and they get taken, they get pulled down so far that there's so much tension on the surfer and the surfboard that the board actually will flip up and it looks like a tombstone. And if that's you and you've been hit by a wave that hard, you know you're in rough shape. And then the second option of what you can do with that is that you can actually choose to embrace it, right? Say you don't want to go tombstoning. You can say, you know what? This wasn't my game plan. This wasn't the strategy that I had maybe planned on before. This wasn't what I was hoping to do. But you know, I'm going to climb on that board. I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to ride this wave out. And maybe I'm going to have a little fun in the process. Which one of those two pictures sounds better? It's a no-brainer, right? It's number two. And so church family, right now, we are in the middle of a wave of our own. And that wave is called COVID-19. It came out of nowhere. We didn't plan on it. And it's crashing over us. And it's impacting the way we live our life. It's impacting our emotions. It's impacting us in tremendous ways. And that's our reality. And so now it's our job to figure out how are we going to respond to it? Are we going to embrace it and hop on our surfboards and do the best we can, or are we gonna let it crash over us? And so the principle from this illustration, and this is maybe even the main point for my sermon today, is this question that we need to wrestle with, and the reality that either you take a hold of change or change will take a hold of you. Either you take a hold of change or change will take a hold of you. And so what does this look like practically? Well, I think there's a lot of people today who feel like that first surfer who just let the wave crash over them. They said, you know what? I don't need a game plan. I'm just going to keep on going. Whatever happens, happens. You know, I don't need a strategy about how I'm going to take care of myself spiritually, emotionally, physically. They said, you know, that's okay. I'm just going to go figure it out as it comes. No big deal. I'll just ride this out. I'll just, whatever happens, happens. And because they haven't had a game plan, because they haven't been intentional, they're feeling those emotions that come from that, right? They're feeling out of control as they're getting tossed around. They're feeling frustration and anger because things are different. Maybe they're feeling anxiety because they don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. Maybe they're feeling bitter at God because why could he even let this happen in the first place? You know, this is crazy. And so all these emotions keep on coming and they keep on impacting us in ways all throughout our days, all day, every day, because we're feeling out of control. We've been tossed around by all this change. And so jumping back to Deuteronomy, this is exactly what Moses saw like as a possibility, right? He saw them, they could chicken out, they could have fear, they could struggle with adjusting, they couldn't maybe not adapt to God's plan for them in this moment. And he knows that this is such a real threat because they've already done it once before, 40 years beforehand, when the nation chickened out and got fearful and didn't trust in God to go into the promised land. He knows that this can train wreck them if they don't handle change well. And so church, the question is, well, how do we avoid falling into that trap? How do we embrace change? And so I've kind of written down four simple steps to embracing change. You can feel free to write down. I'm sure there's others, but these were just four that came to my mind. The first step is to acknowledge the change for what it is, right? We got to see it, acknowledge it, address it. Kind of already talked about that one. Number two, decide how you're going to respond. You know, are you going to take a hold of change or is change going to take a hold of you? How are you going to deal with this? What's your game plan going to be? Number three, and this is the one I think most of us miss and they can get even most struggle with, and that is that we need to adjust our expectations. So often, you know, we see it, right? Okay, we're going to try to figure this out. But because we're still kind of operating on the, man, I still had to cancel my summer vacation and these plans are different and things are different. And people just don't like that. They don't want to adjust. They don't like changes of plans. And so unless we can actually intentionally say, you know, this is what this looks like today, and there's going to be some question marks in my life and I need to be able to be okay with that. Unless we can get there, we're going to be struggling. And number four then, fourth step, is that we need to put in the work to keep on going. And that's that daily decision to be flexible, that daily decision to keep on doing the work that's required to keep on embracing the change that comes up. And what's so great is that when we embrace change, when we do these four steps, we grow and we evolve. We grow and we evolve. That change stretches us. Maybe to use this phrase, it causes us to use some muscles that we haven't used for a while. I don't know if you guys have ever like helped somebody move and you're like, I didn't even know I had a muscle over there that I could pull, right? Maybe there's some muscles that we haven't used for a while that God's gonna grow and strengthen us in through a season of change like this one. And I believe that COVID-19 is stretching us in some big ways. And just like the nation of Israel was being stretched with being warriors and conquerors in this new season for them. And so some of the ways I've seen this in our community even here has been people learning how to do schooling from home, right? That wasn't something that people had practiced on three months before, at least, you know, all the public schoolers, et cetera. This was a new thing that they had to learn how to do. Another thing, learning how to spend lots of times with people that we live with. That's been a huge change. If you guys have roommates or family, like that's, you might be tired of these people right now, or maybe you're learning how to adjust and to grow and have a good relationship with them. Or maybe just becoming familiar with new forms of technology. I think we've all heard of Zoom by now. You know, that's something that a lot of us didn't even know what it was a few months ago. But there's this reality that we're becoming more familiar, learning how to do new things in order to keep on going forward. And on top of that, we're also rethinking the way that we do church. And I want to unpack that a little bit at the end of our message together. And that might be looking a little different. And so change is always, in addition to stretching us, it's always an opportunity for us to grow in our faith. You know, for the Israelites taking over the promised land, I just think about what that would have been like if I was in their shoes, right? And we're going, and we're conquering, we're taking over Canaan. And I just think day by day, there would have been this reality that there are just trials that they'd have to face, right? Whether it's war, whatever. And every day they'd have this decision. Am I gonna believe that God is gonna carry me through this? Do I believe that he loves me? Do I believe that he's gonna provide for me? Do I believe that I'm following his plan and his will and he's still gonna be that God for me? This was a daily test of faith for them. And church family, as we are going through and trusting God with our finances, our well-being, our health, all of that stuff, that is a chance for us to grow deeper and deeper roots in our faith with God. Change is a powerful opportunity in this regard, and it can grow us in some big ways. But the reality is that just doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen if we just let that wave crash over us and we're not being intentional, we're not gonna grow, we're not gonna be stretched, we're just gonna be struggling. The reality is we have to choose that. We have to be willing to put in the work so that we can actually grow and be better people through this process because of it. And so we need to take a hold of change and not let change take a hold of us. And so there's a couple more lessons for us from this passage, and I think they really help support the first two. And so the third lesson is that just because our circumstances have changed doesn't mean that everything has changed. Just because our circumstances have changed doesn't mean that everything has changed. And the first thing that Moses highlights for them that hasn't changed is their mission. Let's read Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. It says, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it.'" Guys, if you don't know the story, Moses is saying that your mission is to take over the promised land. And if you don't know the background, this mission isn't a new mission. This mission began hundreds of years beforehand when God made a covenant with Abraham and he said, you're gonna have descendants, number of the stars, and you're gonna have a land that you're gonna inherit. This has been the game plan, the mission for hundreds of years, and it has not changed. And Moses is reminding them that this same mission for them that's been there is true for today. Different circumstances, same mission. And the second thing that he's reminding them that haven't changed is their God. And he's saying that their God is still gonna help them accomplish it just like he's always done. Let's read verses 3-5 one more time. And I just want you to just focus in on how much Moses goes out of his way to talk about God's role in this process. He says, "The Lord, your God himself, will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you." You know, Moses knows that this people group are going to be scared without their leader. They're going to be scared with all this change. And I believe what Moses is doing right now is he's reminding them that their leader, their real leader that they've had the last 40 years and the years before that has never changed for a minute, and he will not change. That God, their God, the Lord of the universe is still with them. Is this true for us today? Is this principle that their mission and their God are true for us today? Church, the answer is absolutely yes. Our mission and our God haven't changed either. Guys, God still wants us to fulfill the Great Commission right now. He still wants us to be engaged. He's still calling us to love others and to be lights in this world. And I know that there's a lot of people today that are feeling lost, that are feeling like they don't know what to do with their time. They don't know how to keep on taking a step forward. Things just feel different and they're struggling. And I totally get it. This is so hard and this is so different. And what a lot of people have ended up doing because of all these emotions and all this change is that they've just kind of stopped. Or maybe they've slowed down to an incredibly slow pace and they're just kind of slugging through it, or they're just feeling like they're stuck. And I think, church, that there's more for us to do in this season than that. I believe that God still wants us to be engaged in his mission. So how do we fulfill it? How do we do it? You know, I think it's time for us to get creative. It's time for us to try some things out that are different, maybe we haven't done before, but are still carrying out the mission of the gospel. You know, there are thousands of ways for us to minister to other people over the internet. I could list off dozens, but I'm just thinking about Zoom calls. I'm thinking about people that we can network with on social media, ways we can love each other. There is so much work that could be done there for the kingdom of God right now, even from our households. Think about how much ministry we can have just by picking up a telephone and calling somebody that we haven't talked to for a while and telling them that we love them and that God loves them and praying with them. We can do those things still, right? We can make that a priority that we put into our schedule. We can be loving on the people in our neighborhoods that we see when we're out on a walk or we're just doing life together. We can spend time at home praying for people and ministering to them remotely through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. There is so much work that we could be doing. You know, I spoke to a dad from our church a couple days ago, and he was just talking about how he had just started doing this weekly Bible study with his family because he said, you know what, I want to disciple my kids through COVID-19. And so now they're watching a video together and they're talking about it together as a family for the 30 minutes or so every single week, doing that study, being intentional, because the kingdom has not stopped. And those are some outward ways that we can be fulfilling God's mission right now. But there's also some inward ways too, ways that we can be equipping ourselves, things that we can be doing, growing in prayer and just making time for spiritual disciplines, to be on our knees before God and to grow and to be strengthened. Some books that maybe would be helpful resources, or videos that we could watch that would equip us to be better Christ followers. Church, there's so many ways for us to be doing the mission right now, preparing and engaging. And I just want us to sit on the truth that God's mission has not stopped, but some Christians have. And this morning, I want us all to keep on asking that question, or maybe ask that question for the first time. How am I doing with that? Am I changing with it? Am I embracing change? Am I moving forward in this? Or am I struggling and I'm standing still? You know, I think of the passage, before I share that, I just want to say one other thing, that I think there's some people right now that just might be feeling like, Mike, how am I supposed to do that? This sounds like too much, right? I'm too overwhelmed. I'm capped out. I'm maxed out. I don't know how to do this. I don't have the tools for this. I'm just struggling. And right now, I just want to remind you of the same truth that Moses reminded the nation of Israel. He said, "Your Lord will never leave you or forsake you." And he's talking about this God that has carried them every single step of the way through unsurmountable odds. God came over and overcame those. And I think that message for us today is so true. As we're in this, if we're feeling stuck, we're feeling lost, God wants to pick you up and carry you right now. And he wants to bring you forward step by step in his strength. And my encouragement for you is to lean on him, pray to him, have real conversations, and invite him in to your struggles that you're dealing with. The passage I want to share with you that's just so encouraging to me today is Hebrews 13:8. And the author says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And church, I want us to be encouraged by the reality that that same God that climbed onto a cross for our sins because he loves us and he wants nothing more than to do life with us is saying, "Today, I want to do this season with you, the season of change. I want to be a part of it." That has never changed and that will never change, church family. Let us rest in that truth together. And so that leads us to our final lesson from Moses' passage, his teaching that he has. And the truth is that we need to slow down and process change. We need to slow down and process change. And at the core of this lesson is just the reality that we have to make time and space to assess how things are going. You guys, this can be hard. I'll be the first one to say that this can be hard because I'm the guy who's a worker. I'm the guy who's a fixer. I'm a guy who wants to just keep on pressing forward, and that's my default. And what I don't do by default is I just don't slow down and just reflect. It's easier to keep on going. But I think the reality is that sometimes we have to slow down and see how we're doing. And so there's three different categories of questions that are just some basic things that just you guys to start with. I'm sure there's some other questions too, but questions that we need to wrestle with. And the first question is, where do things feel unhealthy right now? Like what's not going well? Or maybe just tied to this, but kind of similar but a little different is, what are the challenges that I'm facing right now? And the reality is that every change, especially major change like the stuff we're dealing with today, is gonna come with challenges. And so now it's our job to identify them and to be intentional with them, because we can't fix and we can't work on the things we don't know are in existence. And so we have to be asking those questions. What are our challenges? Whether that's being intentional with our time or getting stir crazy in our houses or interpersonal stuff, fill in the blank. You guys know those challenges, process those. And I also just want to say something else, just pastoral kind of aside. And that is that I realize that maybe the biggest challenge for a lot of people today is loss. They're realizing that maybe they don't have that job anymore. Maybe they've lost a loved one. And I just want to say right now that it is okay to mourn the things that we've lost. If we look at Deuteronomy verse 34, a couple chapters ahead of where we were, there's this reality that when the nation of Israel loses Moses, they don't just keep on going, they stop. And so here's what it says, 34:7-8. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. You guys, they had to take time to process. And this wasn't a quick thing. This was 30 days of a whole nation gathering around to process change, to process Moses, to process what had happened, and to mourn. And just so you guys know, it is not wrong to mourn. In fact, it is a beautiful thing for us to do when we do this with the Lord of the universe, comforting us, shepherding us through that. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. And that's totally appropriate. And I want you guys to hear that today. It's good for us to take time to mourn and to process through that. So what are the challenges that you're facing right now? The second type of questions are, what's feeling healthy, right? What are things that are going well in the midst of this? Maybe you've tried some new things out that are going well, maybe some new routines, maybe been growing in your faith. Great, let's celebrate those things. What's going well? And then the third type of question that I want us to reflect on is, well, how do we need to adjust, right? And that's the key question. You've thought about good, you've thought about challenge. What sort of course corrections do we need to make to be doing change better in our lives? And that's something we kind of have to process with on a daily basis, because our lives are going to keep on changing as things go on. And so we need to be in a continual state of evaluation of how we're doing. And the two places that I want to encourage us today to process these changes, first of all, is with God. We need to be doing this in prayer. We need to be going through this season with him as our foundation, right? I think of him as our rock, the thing that keeps us stable and grounded. And that is true, especially right now. God is our strength. God is the one that we need doing this with us. And I just think this about this reality that, you know, going back to that funny surfing metaphor, that I actually have no idea how to surf. And so if I was in that situation for real, I would have no idea what to do. But there's a reality that the God of the universe 100% knows how to help me surf, right? And so even if it's out of my skill set and my comfort zone, my God can help me through that. And so we need to do this with him. The second way that we need to process is with community. You know, if you knew that you were about to go through a bunch of life-changing changes in your life, would you want to face that by yourself or on a team with a bunch of people supporting you? You know, I think for 99% of us right now, that answer is obvious, right? We want a team. We want a support system. And that's part of why God has designed us to be a body of Christ. We need each other through this, and we need each other right now. And so if I would just want you to hear today that if you do not have a team and you're going through this season of change, you're missing out. And today is a great day to start reaching out and building one and embracing one to be a part of your life. And we're going to talk about that more in a little bit. And so church, those are the four lessons that I see here from Moses' teaching here in Deuteronomy. the four lessons that I see. And I want to share with you about how they apply to us as a church in just a moment. But before we do that, I really need us to not miss this opportunity to just do some processing on our own. How are you doing at journeying through change? Are you taking a hold of change, or is change taking a hold of you? And today, I just don't want us to not take time to reflect on that. Maybe today after service, you're going to be having lunch, maybe with the people you live with. Maybe this is what you talk about. Maybe this is what you process together. Maybe you need to call up a friend today. Maybe you're not living with anybody. You want to call up a friend. You want to just process. How are you doing with change? Process this with the Lord. But let's not miss this opportunity to reflect and to figure out and to grow through this season, guys. We need to do this together. And so now I want to switch gears and talk about the reality that those four principles, those four lessons that were applied to us also apply to Westgate Chapel. And the part two of my message is just that God is calling us to be a church that embraces change in the season. You know, our staff team has been watching a lot of webinars. We've been learning, we've been engaging in this national conversation of church leaders who are getting together over the internet, talking about how changes are hitting us, what's going well, what's going poorly. And I'll never forget, one of the first webinars I watched was actually, this one was by the Christian Missionary Alliance, our denomination. And I was listening to a presenter, and the thing that he said that struck me the most, he said this, he says, not every local church is gonna make it through this season. Not every local church is gonna make it through this season. And while that could be partly, certainly financially related, I think a bigger reason why that's the case is because not every local church is going to embrace change and be flexible during the season, right? And I think about how different things are right now. There's so many changes that we're dealing with and we've already begun wrestling with. And the reality is that those changes are going to continue until there's a major relief with this COVID-19 thing. There's going to be at least some level of changes that we're wrestling with. And if churches cannot embrace change and to make some adjustments and to be flexible and maybe learn technology and figure out how to do church a little bit differently, they're going to be losing major momentum during the season. They're going to be missing out on this and they're going to be struggling. And it's going to be like that wave crashing over them. It's just going to be messing them up. And so one of the questions that our team has been wrestling with here at Westgate, just kind of in response to this reality, is how do we keep on moving forward during social distancing? How do we move forward during social distancing? You know, I think a lot of churches and a lot of congregation members and just people in general, as soon as this happened, we just hit that pause button. We just stopped. Or, you know, we kind of said, you know, we're just going to tread water for a little while. We're not going to do anything right now. We're just going to stop. And the reality is that while that might be okay for a second while you assess what's going on, that's not a long-term strategy. We have to keep on moving forward. And so we as Westgate Chapel are thinking, how do we be a church that moves forward during this? God's mission has not stopped, and so neither are we. And so as Pastor Rob shared and has been sharing, we are deep in the process of trying to figure out how we're gonna adjust all this. You know, we're talking about circumstances, but how do we open up our building and how do we make it safe for people? And how do we keep on doing discipleship at Westgate Chapel during this season? And how do we keep on growing believers in their faith? How do we keep on having groups meeting and doing community together? You know, what are some ways that we can keep on reaching our local community with the light of the gospel? You know, we're thinking about all of these things. And my hope for our church family together today is that we would be standing together, united across the city and our houses, et cetera, that we'd be united as one saying, you know what? We're gonna embrace this change together. We're gonna take one step at a time together. We're gonna learn together. And the reality is it's gonna be a rocky road. We're gonna try some things, maybe they don't work. We're gonna try some other things, maybe they're gonna be great. We're gonna be flexible, we're gonna adjust. And the reality is we're gonna need a whole lot of grace in the process because you know what? We got over 1,000 people that are part of our church family, all with their own stories coming together. And we're gonna be trying our best to just navigate through that together as a team. But you guys, we gotta do this together. And so I also wanted to share that I do believe that we are going to get through this season together. I believe it so much in my heart. And the reason why, or one of the main reasons why, is because I've already been watching our church family do this in some major ways. You guys, there's been so many cool stories of God at work at Westgate Chapel. I just think about all of our groups. Almost the majority, I would say, of our groups at Westgate Chapel didn't just stop meeting. They've kept on going via Zoom calls, via video calls. They've been gathering. I'm talking Bible studies, life groups, communities. People are still doing life together here at our church. And I love that this didn't throw us off. We're still meeting. And the groups that have stopped, most of them are right now having conversations with the groups. How do we pick that back up again? Because we want to embrace change. We want to keep on going. And so I love seeing that happen in our groups here at Westgate. On top of that, we've watched our student ministries and Westgate Kids pick up the ball, and they just kept on going online, Facebook, YouTube, Zoom calls. These guys are doing stuff. They're making ministry happen. They keep on pressing forward. I love watching people be creative in ways that they're reaching their neighbors, the ways that they're doing neighboring in their communities, and they're sharing so many fun stories on Wednesday Night Live. If you guys haven't checked in that, there's so many cool, encouraging stories that we share, testimonies of God at work through this season. Love that. I love seeing people sign up, maybe more than ever, for our Westgate Chapel prayer list. And they're saying, you know what? I want to support our church family in prayer. And I don't have to be in the same room with them to pray with them because our Holy Spirit is universal. And I love that. And one more thing that was so fun for me this last weekend, we had a food drive. And I love that we had 59 households show up for this food drive. We gave them 4 days of notice and the church just mobilized. And I was like, wow, way to go, Westgate. Way to just embrace the change, do something new, be nimble, and make the gospel and the love of Christ advance in the season. You guys, you're doing so many great things, and I love it. And it just makes us and our pastoral staff here and all of our staff here just so proud, and our leaders, just to see how you guys are responding to this. And so my hope today is that spirit of embracing change that I think has very clearly already begun at Westgate will continue and will grow and will advance even further. I want every person at Westgate Chapel embracing change in this, Lord. And I believe that that's the Lord's will. And I believe that that's what we're moving towards, more and more doing this. And I'm excited. And so I want to also share with you guys a couple ways that we see ourselves embracing change even a little bit more here, a little bit of what's coming up the pipeline at Westgate in the future. And so one of the things that we've been discussing about with our staff and in these places of communication with other church leaders around the nation is what's been going well. And there's been several things going well, but one of the common denominators on every platform, has been our small groups. It's been small groups that have been doing well and successful over this. If you think about it, small groups have been successful at meeting online. On Zoom calls, it's very easy to have those conversations with people. They're very flexible. Maybe they can meet in groups of 10 or less. Regardless of the circumstances and the guidelines, they're able to do that and keep on going together. And so when I talk about small groups, just to be clear, I'm talking about spaces where people can be known together, spaces where people can laugh, hurt, and be real, places where people can meaningfully have conversation about their faith and how they grow in it, and the scripture and what they're learning. That's what I'm talking about, groups like that. And so here at Westgate, we're talking about how, as we think about moving forward, we're talking about how small groups, our life groups, et cetera, will be a key place for us as we keep on moving forward through the season of social distancing because they're so effective in the midst of it. And so we're already beginning to have conversations about what that looks like and how we can use them ongoingly for community outreach, for all these different things. And we really want to be embracing these small groups here at Westgate as a key place for us and a foundational place for us as a church, right? Because the reality is that church is more than just a live stream, right? It's a gathering of people who are doing life together, and we can really do a lot of life together and a lot of New Testament biblical community together through these small group spaces. And so I think that that's something we'd love for everybody to be a part of. And so with that, I want to share with you that we're actually gearing up for a life group launch. We know there's a lot of people who are not in groups yet. And so we want to create a space for you guys to join in and be a part of that. And so we're going to be launching some new groups here on May 31st. And we're actually going to be getting signups ready for that about on May 24th, that week beforehand. And we're going to be trying out two different group types. You know, and we're kind of taking this one step at a time, figuring out what this looks like. We're planning on having some online group options with video calls, as well as some on-site options, assuming we have government guidelines and that all is working out, obviously day at a time, 10 or less, et cetera, where people can gather together and do a small group, study, community, et cetera, together at Westgate Chapel. And so we'd love for you to be thinking about if joining one of those groups. Those groups will be about 5 weeks long, give or take, depending on the group, and just a chance for you to kind of try that group out. If it's great and it's working, we'll keep those groups going. And if the group's kind of struggling, we might wrap that up and maybe launch some more groups in the future. But we want to just put that on your radar. We need community as we go through all these changes, guys. And this is a great chance for us to do this. And so if you're interested in joining a life group, go ahead today on that Connect card. Even if you already filled it out, fill it out again. Write your name down on that and mark that life group box saying that you're interested in being a part of that. So we can just kind of have a gauge for how many spaces we want to help make sure we have for people to be in groups during the season with this first kind of life group launch that we're gearing up for in a few weeks. The second way that we're talking about embracing change this summer as a church is through our Church in the Streets Week of Neighboring. And so that's something that normally we've done a day, right? But we're doing a week this year. And we're going to be doing it June 21st through 28th. And we're gearing up to reach our community and to reach our neighborhoods in big ways. And the reality is that for a lot of the things we might want to do, we need some teams to come around us. And so we're really encouraging this to be done with those teams that are our groups together at the church. And so we'd love for people to be serving with their groups, reaching their neighborhoods together. As well, we're also gearing up for some more serving throughout the summer. We have a month of serving in August that we're going to have coming up as well. You guys, there is some cool stuff coming up the pipeline, and there's no reason for our mission to stop advancing here at Westgate Chapel. So more to come on all of that in the upcoming weeks. And so as I wrap up our time together today, as we close things down, for this message, I just want us to, as a church family, just to take a hold of the reality that we're facing, right? We're in a time of change. And this is a moment for us, like the nation of Israel, for us to step forward and to say, we are going to keep on advancing. We're not going to let this derail us. We're not going to let this slow us down. We're going to keep on being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this time and in this season. And so, church family, would you join me in answering that question? Are we going to let change take a hold of us, or are we going to take a hold of change? You guys, we can do this together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you because you're good. I thank you because you've never left us and you've never forsaken us, God. And as we stare change in the eye, I just think of all the change that people are facing, Lord, the losses, the grieving, the differences, the different circumstances, the questions. Father, you are still here with us and you have never moved and you have never shaken, God. And today you are as strong as ever and you will guide us and you will direct us through this time, Lord. And we praise you for that. And so right now, I just want us to be a church family on our knees together, wrestling with change that we're facing and navigating it and asking how we can do better and how we can do different and what it looks like to keep on advancing, God, because you have not stopped and neither are we gonna stop. Father, we love you so much, Father, and we just thank you for this. We thank you for this, Lord, and we just pray that what comes forward and the way we step forward as a church family in the months to come would be a testament of our heart and love for you, God. So, Lord, as we go into this next song, let it be a reflection and a prayer for us in worship together. We love you, and we ask this in your name. Amen.